grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Again, the word for our consideration this morning is that gospel lesson that you just heard, John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14, in Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. Has it ever happened to you when you go maybe on vacation, or it could be just one of those three-day weekends, even just a special night out? You enjoyed it so much. Every moment was one that you'll cherish for years to come. You just had such a great time. And then you got to come back to everyday real life, right? Somehow that just is a little bit difficult. Takes a while to get back into the swing of things, right? Because you had such a good time. It was almost like you were in fantasy land. You didn't have all the responsibilities of your daily routine, and you just were so thrilled and happy to be away from the daily grind, and then you got to come back. It's just one of those things. Or it could be the other way, that maybe you were so refreshed and renewed from going on vacation or having that extra time off that now you can't wait to get back at it. It has so reinvigorated you that you're all enthused and eager to get back at the responsibilities and routine that you are used to. So which do you think was true of the disciples? Only possibly a week and a half after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We don't know exactly when this took place. John does signal to us that this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. Remember, the first time was on Easter evening. Second, and that's when Thomas was not with the disciples. And then a week later, that following Sunday, Jesus appeared again to them, and Thomas was with them at that time. That was the lesson from last Sunday's gospel. And now John tells us this is the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples, sometime shortly thereafter, I would imagine. And how did they feel? What was going on in their minds? What was on their minds at this particular point in time when we hear that the seven disciples and their name, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the two sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together? And it's almost as if nothing had ever happened. Nothing had changed. Nonchalantly, they just simply, Peter says, "I'm going out to fish." And they said, "We'll go with you." Can you imagine? After everything that they had been through, it's like nothing happened. And maybe that raises a question in our minds too. Something that maybe we don't even want to think about, but really is or should be on our minds. What now? What next? Now that Jesus has risen from the dead, there should be some kind of an impact. There should be some kind of effect in our lives, shouldn't there? No question, absolutely, there has to be. And this appearance of Jesus now to the disciples pointedly and powerfully shows that there is an answer to that question. Jesus' resurrection does make a difference. In fact, it reminds us especially today that on a regular daily basis, deliberately and with determination, we always need to turn and trust in our risen Savior. First and foremost, that we see his deep and abiding concern for his disciples. And don't we see that? Peter said, "I'm going out to fish." And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. I don't know, maybe it was still a little dark. Couldn't really make out who the figure was that was standing on the shore. Maybe it was a circumstance where they were kept from recognizing him, at least at this point in time. But isn't it amazing, after they had witnessed those life-changing, history-making, world-significant events of Jesus, crucifixion, his death, his burial, and then his mighty resurrection from the dead, and the people that had witnessed all of those different appearances that Jesus had already made to the disciples and to others, and now all they can think of is going back to what they used to do 3 years before, going out fishing. Well, maybe it was just going back to what's familiar. Going back to something that caused them or enabled them to just relax and think about what they had been through. But even in that situation, Jesus knows what's going on and he cares about what's going on with the disciples. A stunning action on Jesus' part. Early in the morning, he stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Stood on the shore early in the morning. Jesus wanted to be there when they came to shore with their big goose egg. Because I'm sure that must have had an impact on them too. Now, after all they've been through, now they're skunked for catching fish. These were professional fishermen. They knew what to do, okay? And I love what Jesus says to them. NIV simply says, he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" You remember what the EHV translation had? "Boys!" I like that. That's a great translation. Because it reflects the abiding concern that Jesus has for these men. It's an endearing term, a loving term. That yes, this is still their loving Lord and Savior, who is in fact even now concerned about this minor little thing. Really, in the context of everything that they had witnessed, this was no big deal. But he still is concerned about them. He asks them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" is how the NIV says it. "Boys, don't you have any fish?" Jesus asked them, knowing already what the answer was. He wasn't looking for information. And I'm sure it was difficult for these professional fishermen in particular to say, "No." I don't know of anyone who was at that walleye fishing tournament yesterday and the day before over in Chamberlain would come in and say, "Oh, I didn't catch anything." No, you wouldn't want to admit that, would you? That wouldn't just be a disappointment, that'd be an embarrassment. But the disciples answered that to the Lord, who, at this point, they still didn't know who it was, but then he says, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." What, were they only fishing on the left-hand side of the boat? Or up in front, or in the back, or just below the boat? What difference does it make if you put your nets down on the right-hand side of the boat? But you notice what happens? When they did, They were unable to haul the net in because of a large number of fish. Wow, Jesus must really know the good spots to fish on the Sea of Galilee. Maybe he could see the big school of fish that was just to the other side of their boat. He could see that from his vantage point on shore. Or maybe he was just toying with them.
Well, you didn't catch anything on the other side, why don't you put it on the right side? Yeah.
Ha ha, big joke. No, no. They understood, finally, John is the one who responds, it is the Lord. This was no ordinary event. This is something that only their Lord, their Almighty God, Savior, could accomplish. And what love and concern he shows for them. Because he knew what they were going through. He knew what they were experiencing, how they were feeling, and what they were enduring, as he always does. Not just for these disciples, but for you and me too. Jesus knows the aches and pains that you have. He knows the cancer that is riddling through your body. He knows the surgery that you had to go through. He knows the troubles, the heartaches, the emotional anxieties that you have and you carry. And he cares about them. He truly cares about all of us. Because he himself has been through it all already. Remember what the writer of Hebrews reminds us? He was tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. He's gone through every aspect of our lives too as human beings. And he cares about how it has an effect on us. That's why he came in the first place. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save what was lost. He cares that much for us that he took upon himself our human flesh and blood and endured everything that you and I have gone through. So he knows and he cares. Take that to heart. Believe and know that every time your situation is such that it causes you to wonder, why am I going through this, and does he even know about it? Yes, he does. And he cares for you. In fact, Peter, the guy in the boat at this point in time, remembered this lesson so much so that years later he said in his first epistle, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Psalmist says that too. Psalm 94, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Jesus knows and cares for every single one of us. That's why we can turn to and trust in him as our Savior God. But he also displays another thing that we need to recognize too. And that is, not only does he care for us, but he calls on us to listen to him and follow his right advice. Remember what Jesus told the disciples? He's on shore and he says, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, by the way, that's John, the writer of this gospel, The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. How many things do we hear about in this short span of time where Jesus tells them, this is what I want you to do, and now they follow it. Even though, like with the net going on the right side of the boat, that didn't make any sense. That was against all their experience, all their expertise as professional fishermen, but they did what Jesus told them to do. So whether it's in your daily personal activities, your professional life, your school career, whatever it might be, follow Jesus. Listen to him and his direction. And even if he doesn't provide you with the kind of amazing abundance that these disciples experienced, he will see you through. And recognize this is not one of those, you know, big fish stories that fishermen like to tell. You can tell that John actually was there. Because such an impression did it make on him that not only did he remember the general circumstances, oh yeah, we had a lot of fish in there. No, he knew exactly how many they had caught, 153. And 70 years later, he writes it down and records this event. Isn't that amazing? He knew it was the Lord. And he learned what you and I need to learn too. And that is simply to listen to what Jesus says and follow his advice. Not your own. But that means seeking his advice, going to his word on a regular basis to know what his will and word is. Not relying on your own understanding. In fact, that's what the wisest man in the Old Testament, in fact, in the world, said as well. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And isn't that what Jesus told his disciples too in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Follow, listen to and follow, put into practice what God tells you in his word. Don't avoid it, shun it, disregard it, put it into practice. And of course we have impetuous Peter, right? As soon as the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around himself and jumped into the water. Couldn't wait to get to see Jesus. Quite the contrast to what had happened at least a couple of years before this. Similar circumstances. When Jesus revealed his divine glory to the disciples who were also in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, then he said, Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. This time he couldn't get there fast enough. And he couldn't be any closer to his Lord and Savior. Even if it meant getting wet, because Easter changed Peter's heart too. And we're also told, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you just caught. Isn't that something that our Lord teaches us to do always? That's the reason why we pray, come Lord Jesus, and oh give thanks. Because we're called on to give to God our first fruits. Give him the first portion, and everything else will be given to us as well. And then we're also told, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Because once again, they had encountered and experienced even richer blessings than they could ever have imagined once Jesus was there. And there were no doubts, no questions as to who had blessed them. They all knew it was the Lord. That's why you and I are also called on to know, to listen to follow our risen Lord and Savior, because He always knows and provides His abundant help. We're told, verse 13, Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. And you know, maybe in regard to material blessings, you haven't experienced quite such an amazing abundance as what the disciples did here today. But certainly you understand and know, at least I hope you remember, that Jesus is still the giver of all good things, that He's the one who decides, He's the owner of everything, not us. Keep that in mind too in times of doubt or drought or deprived and disaster, as well as in times of wealth and the wow that comes when we wonder how in the Lord could all this stuff have come except from the hand of my Savior God. As He comes through again for the disciples, as He may, through friends or family, fellow members, neighbors. And it may not always be as abundantly as it was for the disciples, but certainly we have reason always to acknowledge and thank our Savior God for His outpouring. That's what it means to know who we're talking about and to trust in Him, rely on Him for everything. Even if you're a Peter, who had that horrible, heinous sin still hanging over his head of having denied his Lord three times, this is still his Savior God, his loving Lord, who had gone to the cross to forgive those sins. He had to die for them, but now was alive again, having conquered and accomplished our salvation. In spite of the times, sometimes when we may also be like John and James, whose arrogance and snobbery wanted to wipe out the people in one of the villages that didn't welcome Jesus. But isn't that exactly why Jesus came? Was to seek and to save what was lost and give His life as a ransom for many? That's who this is. That's why we too can trust in the Lord, your loving Lord and Savior, your victorious Redeemer and King. In spite of all you have been through, Jesus is still there. So turn to Him and rely on your risen Lord and Savior in everything. Amen. So now let the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus alone. Amen.